and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Joining me today is U.S. Air Force Reserve Second Lieutenant Rachel Heck. She's a student here in the Public Affairs Qualifications course and is also an extremely accomplished amateur golfer, at one point being ranked number 2 in the World Amateur Golf Rankings. She's competing this year at the Augusta National Women's Amateur Tournament, and we welcome her here to talk about her athletic accomplishments, her time in the PAX-Q course, and her goals for the future. Lieutenant Heck, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a beautiful day. I'm so happy it's spring.
I know.
Finally getting away from the cold. It's so nice.
Finally.
Oh, it's just great. So it's a happy Monday. I'm here to be here with you. You have some really exciting stuff coming up, and so I'm glad that you're here to talk about it. It's pretty cool and unique and not something that we see very often.
Definitely. I'm excited to talk about it. I can't wait.
So tell me, if you can, a little bit about sort of your past and what brought you here to DINFOS.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up playing competitive golf. That was like everything. My life centered around competitive golf. And toward the end of high school, I realized I need something more. This can't be everything. Golf is so individual. So I decided I wanted to find something where I'm just such a small part of something so much bigger. And I thought the military seemed right for that. So on a whim, I joined ROTC and I just fell in love with it. I didn't know if I'd be able to finish with my golf and academic schedule, but I just knew I couldn't leave. So yeah, I ended up commissioning as a public affairs officer, which was definitely my first choice. I love the public affairs career field. It sounded really up my alley. And, you know, that brought me here to DINFOS. And I realized I made the right choice. I love public affairs and I definitely wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
How long have you been in the course so far?
This is our 10th week. So we're graduating Thursday.
So you're ready to be out of here. You're almost done. That's awesome.
I know. It went by too fast.
Do you know where you're going next?
So I live in San Francisco. So I'll be going back there.
Gotcha.
And then my... I don't know when exactly I'm going to go for the first time, but my first base will be the entertainment liaison office in Los Angeles. I'll probably stay there for a little bit, then switch over to something that's a little better, lends more to traditional public affairs training as I start my career in the Air Force.
And, you know, that's also really interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of folks don't know that the different services all have entertainment liaison offices because the Hollywood, of course, wants to make movies like Top Gun or I can't think of any Air Force movies off the top of my head. But
Captain Marvel, Iron Man.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Captain Marvel, you know, that involves military representation and we want to make sure they do that correctly. And they want to do stuff on our ships and on our bases and with our people. And we have to liaise all that stuff. So you're going to go become a part of the Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be my big break as an actor. Just kidding. But no, I'm so excited. I didn't realize it existed either until I got put there. I was like, this is so cool. Why don't people know more about it? But yeah, like we'll have, you know, they work on movie sets and make sure, you know, Air Force assets are depicted accurately all the way from customs to courtesies to the actual mission and vision of the Air and Space Forces. So I'm excited to be a part of it and learn a ton.
Yeah, and you're going to do some really cool stuff. And your name might even appear in the credits of one of these movies. So
who knows?
We'll be looking out for you. I actually had a student who spent 2 years of his naval career working on Top Gun 2.
No way.
Yeah, so they came to shoot at whatever carrier he was stationed on. And I guess the production crew liked him enough that they made him the public affairs liaison for the rest of the time that they did Navy stuff.
So, no way. That is awesome.
It was really neat for him. Yeah,
that's
he's
so
a good
cool.
guy. So hopefully you get to do something as well.
I met
the former commander of that office when he came here to talk about his experiences with Captain Marvel, and that's how I knew that it existed even.
Oh, wow.
So I got to hear him talk, and that was pretty cool, too.
Oh, I bet that was neat.
So what have your experiences been like in the PAX-Q course so far?
Oh, my gosh. It's been great. It's split into three functional areas. So the first one's all about, you know, we're learning like AP style and written products and all those technical skills. And we just got done a couple weeks ago with that all leads up to a simulated deployment in Pertuni, which is Poland. And it, you know, then the intensity is up and we're putting all these things we learn into practice from releasing those. For example, like an incident release after a helicopter crash. And then we're doing press conferences with the really heated Russian and Polish reporters, and it's just awesome. And I was a little nervous going into the class, honestly, because, you know, I'm so new to the Air Force and I'm going across the country. I don't know what it would be like, but I think I'm going to cry on Thursday when I leave because I don't know how I'm going to leave all these people. I found that's just the greatest thing with anything in the Air Force is just always the people. Like, the people make you want to stay. So I've made the best friends here and we've had so much fun while we're here just exploring the area, going to DC. We went to a Taylor Swift themed bar in Virginia last week. Like, so we've really just made the most of these 10 weeks and I'm really going to miss them.
I'm sad that you'll be gone before the baseball starts because you got to see a game at Camden Yards.
Oh, I know. We're just missing it.
Well, when you come back.
Yes, absolutely.
When you come back to be an instructor.
Definitely.
So, tell me a little bit more about sort of what your thoughts on the PAXQ course are as far as how it prepares you for the future. You know, we've talked a lot about the MCF course here and we've talked to a lot of MCF students, but we don't really talk to a whole lot of PAXQ students. And I know from talking to Colonel Jackson that a large part of what you do is what you just mentioned, learning your AP style and the basics of sort of our career field, but then also getting into the leadership aspect of it and talking about what public affairs does at like a command level.
Right.
So sort of tell me about how that experience has been like and how you feel that instruction prepares you for the future.
Yeah, I mean, the instructors are just incredible. And I found for me, and I think a lot of people in the course, it's just been a very empowering class and that I feel a lot more empowered in my own voice. Like I said before, coming in here, I didn't have a lot of Air Force experience, but getting those reps and sets of high pressure scenarios and I've become a lot more confident in what I have to say and that what I have to say is important. So we know when I'm trying to get a seat at the table with the command, when it comes to, you know, the enlisted folks, like I just feel much more comfortable and confident that I know what I'm doing. I have something important to say. And I feel great in those capabilities as a leader heading into the course or heading into beyond the course.
Yeah.
Because of the instruction in this course, you know, you're put in a lot of uncomfortable scenarios. There have been plenty of times my hands have been sweating. I've been super nervous, but it's through those reps and sets of being uncomfortable that I've learned to become very confident in myself.
What would you say is the most difficult part of the course, or say the most challenging?
Yeah, for me, and I think it seems like a lot of people, it's when you're in those scenarios, I think it's the scenario, first of all, when we're on our fake deployment, because everything else is pretty low stakes until then. It's like a normal class. You have lecture, grades, tests, things like that. So when you actually get into the scenario and things feel a lot more real, you're standing up to give a press conference. And I really respect all that goes into this scenario because you give a press conference or you do an interview and then 10 minutes later, the instructors are putting out an article into the fake information environment with quotes you said. Like, it just, they do such a good job making it feel real. And for me, coming into this, like, I have a lot of media experience through golf. And I realize this is a different game we're playing now. Like, talking as an athlete versus talking as a military spokesperson is so different. And I think there's a lot more weight in your words as a military spokesperson, which is scary, but at the same time, really cool.
Oh, for sure. Tell me about your experiences with the media from, you know, being in front of the microphone perspective, you know, as a athlete, but I imagine it was as a young athlete too. So you've been doing this since a very young age. So tell me what those experiences were like.
Right, right. I remember, I think I was like in seventh and eighth grade and my parents started making me watch interviews of other athletes and saying, okay, what do they do wrong? What could they have done better? Why shouldn't they have said this? And I was like 13, so I was confused. I was like, why are we doing this? Nobody cares. Like, I'm not going to be doing this. And sure enough, as parents are, they were right. So I played my first U.S. Open when I was 15. And that was just, you know, the best week of my life, but it was also just an introduction to a new world. Like, everywhere I went, I was doing interviews, press conferences, and I used to be so nervous. I used to make my parents go away. I wouldn't let them watch. And they'd laugh because there would be all these other random people there. But I would find my parents and say, leave, like, you can't watch this. So I used to be so, so, so nervous doing it. But I mean, similar to this class, it's through those reps and sets that you just become more confident in your own voice. And after a while, it felt pretty, pretty routine.
What was the overall experience like playing in the U.S. Open at 15 years old? I mean, that's not something a lot of people get to do.
No, it was, I mean, just unreal. I remember the day I qualified, I just cried my eyes out. because that had been a dream for so long, and I couldn't believe that it was happening at 15. And just that week was, I mean, everything I could have expected it to be and more. I ended up making the cut. Like, I surely didn't think I would play well, but I got to play on Sunday with Lexi Thompson, who was, I mean, I was just her biggest fan. Everywhere I went, I was just in awe because these were all my idols that I'd grown up watching on TV, and I was putting next to them, and my dad would come out on the green with me because he was caddying for me. He always caddies for me. And he would pretend to give me advice. He would like hold the club or show me something. And he'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just want to be next to you. And I was like, Dad, go away. You're embarrassing me. But I mean, just looking back on those memories, I just have the fondest memories of it. I mean, it was just, I was just in awe the whole week. I mean, I think after it, it was kind of just one of those moments where you're like, what just happened? Yeah, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it always, because I didn't, it's hard to even realize in the moment how special those memories are going to be.
For sure. And now you are, how old, ma'am?
23.
So now you're 23 and you're getting ready to compete this year in the Augusta Women's National Amateur Tournament, which is amazing. How long has it been since you've actually played? I know you've been a little bit busy with Air Force stuff.
I've been just a little bit busy. I have not played as much as I should have played. I played once before I came here, and then I practiced a few times. I have my clubs up in my closet here. And that's definitely on me. I definitely had more time to practice, but I, you know, I'd rather do things like go to a Taylor Swift restaurant. So I haven't played a lot, but I think I'm going into it with a totally new perspective, because I used to go into tournaments thinking like I have to win, and I had so much pressure on my shoulders. But now, I don't know, I'm just, it's just a new perspective. Like, I'm in a different stage of life than I was before. I'm in the Air Force. I work another civilian job. Like, I just love where my life is at, and golf isn't everything anymore. So now this is like a bonus. It's a treat. Like, I get to go play. I'm probably not going to play that well. And for the first time, that's okay to me, which I love.
So what, if you don't mind me asking, what sort of led to you deciding to remain an amateur and not go professional and to you know, to start this amazing career in the service instead of a professional golf life?
Yeah, I mean, when I was 3 years old, if you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, it was always a professional golfer. Always, 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 until about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. It started with some injuries where I was out. I had to get surgery my junior year. I was out for a long time, and I kind of realized, like, life away from golf is really cool, because that had been everything for so long, which I loved, and it opened so many doors for me. So I wouldn't have changed a second of it, but, you know, I did something for 20 years competitively, and that was, you know, consumed most of my life. And so being forced to take a step away from golf through those injuries just made me realize that there are other things I want to pursue. And that combined with getting experience playing majors, playing, you know, US Opens and LPGA events, I just realized that this isn't the lifestyle that I want. Like, a life on tour, I mean, you're never home, you're traveling week after week. It's just a lot. There's a lot other than actually playing golf that goes into it. And I realized that I didn't want to do it, which was one realization. And then the second was, oh, I don't have to do it. Because I just felt like the road that I was going down, that everyone expected me to go down. So I think it was really hard for me to realize, like, wait, I have free will. I'm completely in charge of my own life. I can make this life go wherever I want it to go. So it was a difficult decision for sure, because golf has given me so much. But I mean, a year later, I think I announced that I wasn't going pro about this time a year ago. And a year later, I couldn't be happier with where my life is at.
Yeah, you seem extremely happy with your decision. So
yes,
I think you made the right one.
Thank you.
So when you have something coming up like the Augusta Women's National Amateur Tournament, as a service member, do you have to get permission to do something like that? Is it simply just taking leave and going to do it? Or do you have to let your superiors know, sort of, hey, I'm going to be in this media environment where people are going to be wanting to talk to me about, you know, the fact that I'm in the service and also an amateur women's national golfer? Like, it's going to come up. So
right.
What's that been like?
Yeah, they've been, so I'm in the reserve, specifically in the IMA program, which is super flexible. So I'm not really missing any duty time for this. But I mean, the Air Force is just so supportive of it, because it is that exposure for the Air Force. Every time I do go to these tournaments, you know, people are going to talk about, oh, you know, amateur golfer turned lieutenant. What are you doing now? And I get to talk about how much I love the Air Force, because I do. So they're so, so supportive of it. And even I realized this a couple weeks ago because I'm trying to navigate the reserve life, and I don't really know exactly how it works, but these kind of national events, you get points towards your like reserve retirement. So it's even helpful for the Air Force because they see the benefit of this and having the service members go out and do cool things. So it actually is helping me in my Air Force career. But I mean, just everyone I've met in the Air Force, that's just the culture of it, I think. Everyone's just so supportive. So when a service member is doing something cool, everyone's bought into that and everyone wants to support them.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like the media experience that you had as a young person has really set you up for success as a public affairs communicator in the service?
I think so. I think it's helped me definitely a lot. Like I said before, there's a lot of differences in how to communicate, but I do have that experience because, you know, no matter what you're talking about, there's something different about standing up with a microphone in your face in front of a bunch of people. So getting used to that is one thing, and getting used to what to say is another. So that's kind of what I'm navigating now through this public affairs experience. But I think also my experience with the media before made me realize that I want to do public affairs because it was something that I learned to be more confident in. And then I kind of realized with this golf experience, with the platform that I've been given through golf, like I could really do something here with public affairs. Like I'm excited to talk about the Air Force.
And I'm sure they're really happy to have you do that. So it works out for everybody.
It's perfect.
What advice would you give to DENFO students who are getting ready to come to the PAX-Q course as a way to be prepared or something to look forward to? Or what sort of advice would you give them?
Definitely. I'd say just my biggest piece of advice is put yourself in those uncomfortable situations because, you know, there's certain requirements you have to do, but you can kind of make this class your own. For example, in the scenario, there's no one telling you, you have to do an interview at this time, you have to do a press conference at this time. That's on you. Like, have that initiative. And if you're nervous, if your palms are sweating, that means you're doing the right thing. This is the time to fail freely. So at the end of the day, this isn't real. All the instructors, all the students, everyone wants to lift each other up. And this is such a safe place to fail. I've fallen on my face many times in this class, and that's totally okay because my instructors and teammates are ready to lift me back up. And I think those times failing are some of my most valuable moments in this class. Definitely the biggest learning moment. So just put yourself out there. Don't be afraid. It's okay to fail and have fun with it. At the end of the day, you know, in the scenario, like we all had to take a step back and be like, okay, this isn't real. This is okay. It's all good. Let's just have some fun.
That's awesome. How do you mentally prepare for something like a major tournament, like the U.S. Open or even the Augusta Women's National Amateur Tournament now? And can you share maybe some strategies that people could utilize for preparing for something similar?
Yeah, definitely. So my coach always told me that confidence comes from competence. And so now going, for example, the situation I'm in right now, going to the Augusta National Women's Amateur, I'm not that confident in how I'm going to play because I haven't been practicing and putting in those reps and sets. And, you know, like I said, it's different now. So I'm okay with that. But before, I mean, you don't win a tournament on the last day of a tournament. Like you win it in those hours and hours and hours of preparation that you're putting in beforehand. So when you're putting in that work and you can go on the first day of the tournament and know you've done absolutely everything possible, you can play a little bit more freely knowing I put in all this work, and then realizing like I'm going to give it my all now, but there's absolutely nothing that I've could have done more to be ready for this moment.
So preparation.
Yep, absolutely. Preparation is everything.
That's awesome. That is actually very similar to something that we've heard from a lot of our guests, so I love that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, sure. Man, I'm excited to have something new.
No, it's great, though, because those are the things that we need to continue to repeat for students and for people who aren't familiar with our career field and people who wonder how we do what we do and, you know, how we manage to circumvent the difficulties of it, because it's an extremely technical career field. And the answer is to keep doing it over and over and over and over again and
absolutely
just practice. Like you said, those reps in, you got to do it over and over again.
Definitely.
And I assume that's the way you became a good golfer. I don't know, because I'm a terrible golfer.
We'll work on it.
I got to get back out there. I got to get out there. I did a great golf commercial one time. I'll tell
oh,
you
no
that.
Way.
Yeah, I shot a great golf commercial one time.
Oh, well, awesome. That's the same thing.
So regardless of how you do at the tournament, what are you looking forward to in your early stages of your career when you're going to this amazing entertainment liaison office? Like, what does the near future look like for you?
I'm just so excited to just get all the experiences possible, if that makes sense. Like, golf was everything in my life, and you know, I had great experience with that, but then I realized there's so much more. So now going to the entertainment liaison office, even being here at Dinfos, these are just things I never thought I'd get to do. I thought I was just going to be a golfer. So I don't want to wish things away too fast. Like, for example, being at Dinfos, like, okay, I just want to get through the 10 weeks, move on to the next step, move on to the next step, move on to the next step. I really want to remind myself to take a step back and think, like, I didn't think I'd ever be here. So I'm going to soak it in. So I'm excited to go to the entertainment liaison office, go to Augusta, go to, you know, who knows what the Air Force is going to have in store for me. So, but I really just can't wait to have these experiences and to soak it all in.
So, okay, so you're a golfer and you're going to the entertainment liaison office. So I have to ask, what is your favorite golf movie?
Oh,
do you have a favorite golf movie?
That's so hard. That's such a good question because when golf is so much becomes a job, like I don't watch it as much, but I definitely have a few. Okay, there's one. It's called The Short Game and it was on Netflix a long time ago. I'm sure not a lot of people have heard of it at all, but they filmed the Pinehurst U.S. Kids Championship. So they're like 7-year-olds. But that's my favorite movie because all my friends are in it who were like a year or so younger than me. And we make fun of them so much because it's so funny. So that is my final answer. The Short Game. Everybody check it out. Look for Amari Avery, Sky Sudbury. They're adorable little kids, but we make fun of them now.
That's adorable. Oh, man. Well, I hope you have great experiences out there. And thank you for coming on the show and talking to us. Is there anything else that you'd want to add about your experiences with PAX Q or your time as a golfer or anything else that you feel like would be important for our audience to learn about you before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say, like, it took me a long time to realize that I have control over my life and I can choose the direction it heads. So I just encourage everyone listening, you know, this is your life. So seize opportunities when you see them and don't ever make decisions based off what you think other people are going to be happy with. This is your life. It's one life. So do what you want with it.
It's tremendous advice. Well, Lieutenant, thank you for coming on the show. It was wonderful to talk to you today. I wish you the best of luck in this tournament. I will certainly be watching to see how you do. I hope that you do better than you think you're going to do.
Me too.
I would love to see you come back on the show and talk to us again. So good luck out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Thank you so much
Have an amazing career. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.